And welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be learning Mizmor Kuf Mem Tes, the 149th Mizmor in Tehillim. And folks, this is the penultimate. We are one away from the end of all of Tehillim. This is incredible. Let's learn this Mizmor. This is the fourth of the Hallelukas. And let's take a look at it. It's a shorter one. It is only 9 psukim long and it's broken into roughly 2 sections. The first 4 psukim are a prayer to Hashem to save his nation. And the last 5 psukim, Hey to Tes, are rejoicing over the success of the Hasidim against the nations. Both sections begin with a call to the Hasidim to praise Hashem. So in Pasuk Aleph it is, Tilosoi Bikal Hasidim, his praise is in the community of those who are pious. And the Pasuk Hey begins the second section, Yalzu Hasidim, let the righteous or the pious ones rejoice. It's worthwhile actually comparing the two sections and noting that there really are 2 ideas mentioned in the first section and 3 ideas mentioned in the second section. The first section has 2 ideas, which are the command to praise Hashem and then the actual praises of Hashem. The second section has 3 ideas, the command to praise Hashem, describing the actions of the Hasidim, which is La'asois Nekobah Bagayum Tochachos Ba'alu'umim. They're going to do all this rebuke and then the praises of Hashem again. In terms of understanding the themes, it could be that, first of all, in terms of the events in our Mizmor, it could be that these events are referred to in the past. We're looking backwards in history to things that happened. Or it could be a prayer for the future that let these resolutions, that let these salvations happen. In terms of the voice of this Mizmor, the Mishorer is not turning directly to Hashem. He's rather turning to the crowd, to the audience in front of him, and telling them to praise and to thank Hashem. Who is the king? Well, it's interesting. This Mizmor can actually sometimes be seen as the last Mizmor in Sefer Tehillim because the capstone, or rather epilogue Mizmor, is Kuf Nun, 150, which is the next one. And that being said, it's actually very similar to Mizmor Beis, the second Mizmor in Tehillim, which is seen as an extension of the first Mizmor, which ultimately means that the Book of Tehillim, so to speak, begins and ends in the same general manner, which is talking about Hashem vanquishing the enemies of Israel at the behest of the king. The difference is that Mizmor Beis is talking about the king who's generally understood to be David HaMelech himself. When it talks about the other nations, where they try to plot against David, he says, Yosheb HaShemayim Yisrak Hashem Yilag Lomoy, Hashem is going to laugh against them and he's going to cut them down. It could also be that that this is historical in the sense that Tehillim begins talking about the promise to the legacy and to the destiny of David, to David HaMelech, that he will ultimately be the king. And the penultimate Mizmor in Tehillim is showing that throughout his life, not only was he successful as conquering the other kings, but also being considered one of the Hasidim. Maybe the description of the Hasidim is describing David, a pious person, both in action and in spirit. Who are these Hasidim? So the Da'at Mikra, Rabbi Moshe Chacham points out that there's 2 descriptions given to these Hasidim. One is Tilosoi Bikal Hasidim, that Hashem is being praised by these Hasidim, but is also describing them as that they are La'asos Nekobah Bagoyim, that they are going to be doing the actions, the rebukes of Hashem among the nations, which means to say we have very righteous soldiers over here. These are not just people in the base medrash, these are not just soldiers in the field. The Hasidim are the people who are able to do both. Reminds one of the story in Sefer Shoftim, where Gideon is called upon to rally an army to fight against the terrible soldiers of the Midianites. And what he does is he rallies the troops, and Hashem wants to show this is a miracle. So he narrows the troops down to a very small number, and these are only the most righteous of righteous people who are going to act as his army. That's the Hasidim that it seems to be described in this Mizmor. That's interesting. Once in Europe, there was a play, a routine which was put out to mock the religious Jews when the Reform movement was in the rising. And one of the ways that they mocked them was they set up a play and they talked about how they were reading Sefer Devarim in the Bible, and the Torah talks about how there is only anybody who's rach levav, anybody who's scared, a person who's not righteous. And the Gemara explains that it means to say anybody who maybe spoke between putting on a different tefillin should leave the war effort. And so they made a mockery of this of Chazal saying this, and they said, you know, they made it as if they were going to war, and they kept on saying anybody who maybe have this sin, this infringement, this infraction, should leave. And there was only 2 people left who were, like, you know, the Gedolei Ador, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, whoever it was who was left on stage acting as if they were the only soldiers left. And they were making a mockery as if, like, you know, there would be no army if it were the stringent principles of the Gemara that would dictate who was in the army or not. And when the Gedolei Ador heard the story, they smiled and they nodded and they said, yes, in fact, that's how it really works. Not that they're just one soldier, but it's on the schus of those very righteous people who fight and pray, who ultimately the war is won for. These are the Hasidim described in this Mizmor. In trying to understand the events behind this Mizmor, the Da'at Mikra searches and says that perhaps it seems like it's a victory song. It sounded when the nation of Israel comes back to their center and they've won the victory, and that the Nekoma has been taken by the against the nation, the revengeance. Le'esol Malcheim Bezikim, and their kings have been tied up in these chains, V'nichbedeim B'chavler Bazel, and everything seems to be going well. And it could be, there's numerous times in Jewish history, it could have been Agag with Shaul HaMelech, Shmuel HaNavi with other kings, there's David HaMelech in many, many episodes, not very specific. However, it could also be referring to the apocalypse, it could be referring to the future, the end of time, where we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to please vanquish the nations that are fighting against us and trying to work and are bent on our annihilation. In fact, that's why, says the Al-Sheikh, in understanding this theme, we call it a Shiru LaHashem Shir Chadash. You'll notice that the word Hallelu Ka is broken up into two words, Hallelu, praise, Ka, the name of Hashem. But when we sing the Shir Chadash, it's Shiru LaHashem, which is the Shem Avaya, the full name of Hashem. Because in the future, we are going to be able to sing the full song of Hashem's full name, where there won't be an Amalek, there won't be an evilness in the world, which is withholding us from really fully understanding and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world as evil exists. And what is that dependent on? That's dependent on us. Tilas Vekal Chasadim. If we're willing to welcome Hashem into this world, He'll be in this world. And that's the Shir Chadash, the new song which we will sing upon the Yichud Hashem, the unification of Hashem's name. In regard to the players places in our davening that this appears, it of course is the fourth of the five Hallelukos following Ashrei, which is to be found in Pesukei Dezimra on a regular morning, a weekday morning, and a Shabbos and Yom Tov morning. One pasuk in the spotlight for today, and that is pasuk Vov, very fascinating pasuk. The pasuk tells us, Ramamois Kel Bigronom, V'cherev Pipios Biyadom. What does that mean? The exaltations of God are in their throat and a double-edged sword in their hand. What does this mean exactly? The Gemara Brachos says that in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, that if a person reads Kriyas Shema on their bed, there's as if they have a double-edged sword. What does that mean? Because where does the Gemara learn this from? It says because of our pasuk, Ramamos Kel Bigronom, when the exaltations of God are in their throats and they have a double-edged sword in their hands, and the pasuk which immediately goes just after it is Ya'alzu Chasidim Bechavod, or just precedes it is Ya'alzu Chasidim Bechavod Yiranu Nu'al Mishkavosom. They'll praise Hashem on their beds. So this refers to saying Kriya Shema LaMitzvah, which gives a person double-edged protection. What exactly does the Gemara mean? It sounds very esoteric. Rav Kook explains in the Enaya on this Gemara, he says a very beautiful thing. And that is that the person is composed of the spiritual elements of their existence and the physical elements of their existence. Spiritually, a person is fortified because if a person is willing to actually think and dedicate their thoughts to cerebral spiritual matters, they're going to be protected from harm. But the person's body, by nature, is more indulgent, is more involved in this world, is more similar to the animal kingdom. When a person goes to sleep and most of the intellectual capacity of a person is on hiatus, that's when a person runs into the threat, the danger of being consumed by physical forces, which is why we do Netilas Yodayim in the morning. However, when a person does Kriya Shema LaMitzvah, what they're doing is they're imbuing even their physical element of their body with protection, with a level of spirituality, even though it's not their intellectual component. And that's what it is when it says, Cherev Pipios B'Yodam, a two-edged sword, the sword of the intellect, which protects the mental, the cerebral aspect of the human being, and the physical, the chomrios aspect of a person when a person goes to sleep, having said Kriya Shema LaMitzvah. One last thought on this pasuk, and that's the Al-Sheikh explains, and the reason why it's important to quote the Al-Sheikh right here is because the Al-Sheikh's pirush on Tehillim is called Ramamos Kel, the elevations or exaltations of Hashem, which is derived directly from this pasuk, so it's worthwhile giving him the credence to appreciate what he says on the pasuk of his namesake of his book, and that's what he says, is that the actual Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sword itself. It's not that we're saying, oh, you know, Davin Shmon Esrei and do Shevach and then ask Hashem, please save us, and get to that bracha. No, the actual Shevach, praising Hashem itself, is the sword of protection. Don't think you need to actually always articulate every single request. Praise Hashem. That itself is the sword. That's the Ramamois Kel, exaltations of Hashem. We should always be protected. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.